Hello and welcome to Shelf Respect, the book podcast focused on both craft and chaos of fiction. I'm Knox McCoy, and joining me as always, they will be back in 2027 with a lot of thoughtfulness and care. It's Jamie Golden and Aaron Moon. Do you know, did you see what that's in reference to?
What's this reference to? The
Bachelor producers said they'll be back in 2027 with a lot of thoughtfulness and care when they return.
Just like we've used the last 25 years of making this show.
It's different now. Yeah, they're gonna really have it. So I'm excited about that for them. In this specific episode, we will be discussing non-fic ics.
Now, listen, if you're listening and you are not a hardback in our Patreon community, here's the thing. Let me just make a small case for you, okay? What do you get? First of all, you get all these episodes all in one feed, right? Free or paid, right? So one easy spot. Also, you get the paid episodes like BookTinder, a dating app for books, a time travel episode through the best-selling books of 5 and 20 years ago. We do footnotes where we talk about the weird and possibly criminal shenanigans in the current world of books. We always have a shelf reflections episode where we talk about all the books we're personally reading and the dozens that Aaron DNFs, okay? We also do notebook book clubs. We recently, our notebook book clubs, guys, they're super fun. We make slide decks. It's very fun. We did book to movie adaptations. We did child characters as grown-ups. We recently did Indie Bookstore Smash or Pass. Plus, you get 8 months of archived content. Now, you can sign up for a 7-day free trial at patreon.com/shelfrespect. Or if you want 3 months for free right now, you can just snag our company spring gift guide. Check out page 9, and that will send you to a place where you can have a code to get 3 months of hardbacks for free. That's at knoxandjamie.com/spring gift guide. Click the links in the show notes.
Okay, so we are here to, Jamie, you had mentioned, you'd brought up an idea and talked about the trend that's talking about ficics, recently, like on social media.
Yes, because a person on TikTok that I follow who reads Dramione, and I really love her detailed reviews, and she does like a get ready with me while she does her reviews. She was talking about what are her 5 fic ics when something happens in a Dramione. And one of the things was, she goes, by the way, none of these will keep me from finishing a because I'm okay with them doing it when they're in high school. And so, because sometimes, guys, people do it in high school. I don't know what to tell you. Sure. Like, sometimes people have sex in high school. I don't know.
It's what it is.
It is what it is. Yeah.
So we didn't want to completely plagiarize that idea. So we wanted to tweak it a little bit. And I know we normally talk about fiction, but we're going to talk about nonfiction. So the ics that nonfiction books or authors or whatever give us. We have a lot of listener comments we want to go through. The example you laid out in the social post, Jamie, was, and this is in all caps, cookbooks need all the photos. I cannot be expected to guess what this dish will look like.
This is absolutely accurate.
I don't know how to cook, and I'm getting your book to help me learn how to cook. And when you say I need to use a shallow pan, I need to look, you need to post a picture of a shallow pan. What's shallow? Yeah. Shallow's relative. Like, is it the shallows? Like, what's happening?
Cookbook author, this is a woman who doesn't even think about people when she reads a book. She doesn't even imagine the people. You think she'll imagine a shallow pan? Get out of here.
Listen, I one time phoned a friend to be like, how much is a drizzle? How much is a drizzle? Because they didn't show me in the picture how much a drizzle is. And I don't know. Because when it drizzles, when it rains, that's a lot of rain. It's just
that's a lot of rain. Yeah.
It's not very fast.
It's a good point, frankly.
You know what I mean? So that was the example I gave. But ics, for people who don't know, because I do think an ics in relationships are different than ics in books. Ics in relationships are like kind of a small minor thing where you're just like automatically like, ugh. And you're now, it's over. Like, it's over. The ick turns, it flips a switch, if you will. Rachel Thompson wrote in Mashable in 2025, this is fantastic. She goes, the causes of the ick range from the understandable, being rude to waitstaff on dates, disrespectful behavior, to the downright niche. In a list of icks currently being circulated on WhatsApp, examples include 2 phones on table. Why do people have 2 phones? And why are they both on the table? Grown adults on manual scooters. Spotify with ads. Truly, one of the only icks I have with Aaron Moon is that when we want to watch a clip on YouTube, I got to watch 3 ads because she won't pay for YouTube Premium.
I see it as a public service to keep you humble, to keep you like with the people.
It does keep me out of my penthouse. My favorite one, though, is the last one, which is colored bed sheets. And I agree. Why are these bed sheets black? I don't like this.
I never thought about that. I love a patterned.
A pattern tone is fine, but if we're getting into jewel tones,
oh, okay.
I don't. That's
where in the spectrum are we at? Like, has it had to be stark prison white, or can it be like
a gray? We could do a taupe. But I don't know.
You're talking about Kelly Green. I don't need Kelly Green sheets.
Kelly Green. That's
crazy.
Wild.
It's St. Patrick's Day. I don't care. You're
you shouldn't be changing your sheets for St. Patrick's Day.
No, you should. You can't have themed sheets.
Not
counterpoint. Now I'm back. I'm back. Half season.
You want some gingerbreads on there. Yeah. Knox, do your girls have icks that they talk about with boys?
No.
They don't talk about
me.
You. They don't
they
talk
just,
to you about
They tell
boys.
Me my icks.
Oh, okay. What are their icks that they have for you?
They don't specify them as much as they convey them through the innovation of looks.
Okay.
Yeah. With their eyes, they cut eyes at me.
Yeah.
But I really don't take them in much. I keep shooting.
You can't.
Aaron, do your girls have icks?
Oh, yeah. We actually had this conversation the other day. Both Holland and Marlo, one of their biggest icks is when a boy runs with his backpack on.
What's wrong with that?
You can't run with your backpack.
You can't run with your backpack.
What are you supposed to do? Throw it ahead of you?
No, you're supposed to walk or you're supposed to carry it.
Yeah.
What do you mean carry it? It's on your back. That is carrying it.
You got that thing hopping up and down?
You can't have it going side to side.
Pull the straps tight and run then. This is crazy.
That's embarrassing. That's
so sexist.
Don't run to the airport with a backpack.
Absolutely not.
You're not finding love there.
I just missed my flight. Why? Because it's icky to run with my backpack on my back. Insane.
It's not icky. It's an ick.
That's crazy, man. Okay, let's do some personal examples before we get to the listeners. Aaron, is it just backpacks and running, or is there more?
No, there's more. I think there's a lot of nonfiction that just could have been an email. Like, yeah. I think I could read a summary and be like, I just recently read The Challenger by Adam Higginbotham. That was not an example of this. I needed every detail about that to fully understand the story. But so many, I'm just like, we have gone so far into the weeds, and I feel like your editor has done you a disservice here, because we are now 700 pages in and we haven't gotten to the inciting event yet. So I feel like some of those could have 100%.
No, I think you're right, because it does feel like let them could have been.
I get it. I get it.
And it could have just been like a post on social media.
100%.
And it was
Instagram
by
post.
Cassie Phillips in 2022, which she stole from, right? But that's all we needed. We didn't need all
of that. So many could, like, when I see let them, I 100% get the concept, and I don't feel like I need any more.
You don't even need the book, because you're like,
okay, I just let them.
Okay, got it.
I got it.
Got it.
Yeah.
That's good. Jamie, what about you?
Okay, so mine is similar. Could this have been, I get that Substack popped off. I do understand that. I know we got a lot of restacks. Is that what they're called?
That is what they're called.
They got a lot of restacks, and it got a lot of comments. And I do know that now you want a book deal off of it. But it was just good as a Substack post.
Mm-hmm.
The book I'm thinking of, and this is hard because I'm reading it now and I'm loving the book. But I do get that if you read, Patrick Ryden Keefe, one of my favorite nonfiction writers, he wrote a article for The New Yorker in 2024 called A Teen's Fatal Plunge into the London Underworld. And it was like I don't know how many words it was, but it was a 90-minute listen. That's how long The New Yorker article
was.
Whoa. Yeah, it was a 90-minute listen. And it was great. It was great. It's great. It's great. And then he wrote a full book about it. Like, and I was like, how's it going to be? What are we going to do? But then he does the thing where I'm like, you know how like people will say like, here's a character and they introduce a person in the story. Mm-hmm. And then the next chapter is like their whole origin story. Mm-hmm. But it's really well written. And they have what I have now discovered is Patrick Ryden Keefe's very hot voice, because he is the narrator of London Falling. And
hold on, Aaron, where's Patrick Ryden Keefe? Like, what's his nationality? Like, what's his deal?
I would assume, I don't know, this feels racist. I don't know. Is this a trap?
No, it's not a trap. It's just a question. But if you want to...
Because Knox had a discussion about this. And so that's why he's like curious what you think.
Is he Irish?
Thank you. Thank you, Aaron. Because that's the most Irish name you've ever heard in your life, isn't it?
Too. I know. And he wrote Say Nothing, which is about the Troubles. No, he's American. And it was funny because he was like, I told Knox I loved the audiobook and that his voice is really sexy. He was like, I don't know. I mean,
I thought he was Irish.
Irish, and swore. It's not. But he did have an Irish narrator for Say Nothing.
Irish speakers that's a hot voice.
I'm going to push back and say, no, I think Scottish is hot, but Irish is
mid. I like them both.
Okay, I will say I think Scottish and Irish ladies, hot voice. I think it's harder for the guys to pull off. I think it's hard.
Weird.
God. Yeah, it feels, it's whimsical and lyrical for the ladies.
It feels higher pitched, and I am going to need a deep voice if you're going to.
It's the leprechaun stuff. You hear an Irish guy, and you're just like, well, wait, what? You
know? And you're like, ugh, he eats a lot of potatoes. I don't know about that. It's starchy. Yeah.
Well, the British were starving them, Jamie. They had to.
Yeah, they had to, Jamie.
Yeah.
Sorry, my bad. Okay, so for that, like, that's an example of like, oh no, this book is better. This became better than what it was in The New Yorker, and it was great in The New Yorker. And so that's an example, just like Challenger, it's good. But then sometimes you're like there, look, there's a lot of nonfiction book deals that go out to people with a lot of followers, and there's a lot of filler. There's a lot of filler in those books.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Okay, Knox, what about yours?
I had some quick ones, like any politician writing a book.
Yeah.
Gross. I know what you're doing.
Yeah. And I don't know you didn't write it while you're also serving as the senior senator from Ohio.
They're not doing much right now.
For our previous episode, one of the books that was written in my year was a book by John Boehner. I completely forgot about him. The cover is just him in a fancy restaurant and he's holding a glass of wine and there's a giant steak in front of him. And I'm like, what are we doing here? Like, what's going on?
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
He art directed that, by the way. You 100% art directed that.
But see, now it's just like Lindsey Graham, like limply holding a Bible. Okay. I want Boehner in front of a stake. That's what I want in my America. Okay. So any politician's book, any mega pastor's book, gross. I get it. I know. Oh, you don't take a salary. It's just all book sales. Got it. You know, wink, wink, whatever.
Yeah.
Punctuation in your title is like the Highlander. Oh. No. There can only be one. Okay.
Yeah.
You can have one colon, one comma, one period. You got to pick your fighter. You can't have all three. Okay. You can't have multiples of each of those individuals.
So if it's like wild, colon, a phrase, but if that phrase has commas in it, no.
Nope, that's icky. Don't do it. It's too much.
Okay. Again,
pick a different title then.
You're
running
with your backpack. I'm just saying, you're giving me the ick by keeping calling it icky.
I'm adding like an adjective kind of phraseology to your term, and I'm giving you the ick.
Sinna's gonna be like, Dad, it's
no. She doesn't believe in books, and she thinks they'll be extinct in 10 years, so she doesn't care about this conversation.
Amazing, you know just what you want to hear your child say.
I know. I was like, you're saying it to my face.
She's
like,
the child of an author.
Saying it to your stupid face.
Brutal. Yeah.
I had one word titles. Give me the ick. They're not icky, but they do give me the ick.
Yeah.
And if any of these words are in your title, I have the ick. Okay. Hustle, grit, toxic. Any of those words, it's gross. I don't like it. Unless your book is called Grit and Hustle, because that is toxic. That's a cool book, and we're good with that.
I would read that book.
Yeah.
Should we build a publishing house so that we can make that book?
We can write it.
So you don't like when somebody's like, let's make a ton of money. You don't like that.
Don't do that. I hate that.
It does feel like you're just trying to get buzz for having the F word.
There was that trend of like everyone was using that word in their title
for
a few years. And she's like, I get it. I know what you're doing. And then lastly, this is a personal ick because I have written two books. Almost as soon as I published the second one, I was like, I hate this. Yeah. And I find it to be an ick. And it's like books with titles that are trying to sound too lofty or are crazy vague in what they're doing. And I'm talking about All Things Reconsidered. Like all things. I talked about Uncle Joey. Like, what are you talking about? All things. All things? There's like some things. The second I met with a new agent, she was like, hey, great to meet you. Your second book had the terrible title. It was such a bad title. I wouldn't have let that go.
No, it was a play on NPR. It was a play on NPR.
Yeah. Another super commercially appealing thing. Great. Good job, man.
Oh, wait.
Aaron, have you experienced this? Yeah.
So I actually have two. One is I hate the title of my book.
What?
So we titled it, and the book's title is I've Got Questions. Yeah. And then like 2 days later, I'm on the internet and a very popular influencer does a whole reel about how she's trying to erase the word got from her vocabulary.
What?
Because it's like it's a filler word. She's just like, you don't have to say got in most of the ways.
I have questions.
could have. And I was like, oh no, we already picked it.
No, but you don't seem as approachable if you say, yeah. I have questions. Right. I've got questions.
Yeah. I think it's more colloquial. You know, it feels like more like this is a normal gal just like trying to talk.
Okay. So I don't know if you've experienced this, Knox, but like you write a book and, you know, people read it and you're like, this is great. This is the dream. This is exactly what I wanted. And then they come up to you in, you know, real life, and they're like, hey, I want to talk to you about your book. And the ick is me, because I'm like, I don't know how to handle this Goodreads review that you're giving me live and in person. So I have made this encounter awkward, and you don't like me anymore. I'm a nervous wreck. I'm sweating. And now all of it's all broken and it's all terrible. And so it's just, I so appreciate, like, it's so nice, but I'm just like, I'm a broken human, and I've not figured out how to actually talk to people about when they're nice about my book.
That I'll extend that to the podcasts, any podcast. Yes. I'm just like, I am letting you down in this interaction.
Good.
I'm
that so is sorry. So nice. Thank you. Good.
So some friends of mine are in a book club. It's guys in a book club. And, they were like, hey, one of them reached out and was like, just so you know, we're doing your book. In the book club. And I was like, oh,
nightmare.
My.
What a nightmare.
I think I should leave. I'm just going to leave my life.
Why didn't you offer to like be a guest at the book club?
Because I just don't think that's cool for to be like, okay, and now talk about.
And now book. Let's talk more about it.
Let's consider my words and everything. So I'm going to join them after they finish my book because I don't like that experience for them.
Oh my gosh!
As much as I don't like it for me, you know.
So in theory, Aaron, you would rather people say nothing about your book.
No, it's just the ick is me. Like it's not. It's not
right.
I want people to be able to express themselves however they want, but it's also just like, why am I turning this into a nightmare for everyone involved?
Yeah, yeah.
And I just can't.
We want to get to the point where we evolve to be better receptacles of. Any nice thing or any comment about the book. But for myself, I'm not there yet.
Yeah, I'm definitely not there. Yeah. My Sunday school class wanted to do my workbook while I was in it. And I was like, no, we cannot. No,
we cannot.
Please, for the love of God, don't do this. Yeah, it's terrible. Terrible.
So that's our personal icks. Let's hear from some listeners on theirs. This is a good group. I'm excited to talk about these. First up, Kristen K. Photo. If you write a memoir, you have to narrate the audiobook. I don't need Michelle Williams talking in first person for Britney Spears.
I disagree with this.
No!
Terrible take.
I agree with this. I do think I do. My experience with this was educated by Tara Westover, because I started listening to it and it's Julia Whalen. And I went, I have rom-coms? What are you talking about? I can't hear her talk about her abusive father. I don't like this. And I get it that they're professional, they're performers. We get it. But I want the author, even with their weird voice. I want the author with their voice.
Do you think Britney
voice.
Spears was in a place to narrate her own
she
book?
Was not.
I don't.
Well,
yeah.
She didn't write the book either. So to be fair, that's unique. But I do want to hear Britney Spears. If somebody's saying to me, I did not like hearing Michelle Williams say for shizzle, for shizzle.
Oh, that was
for shiz, for shiz.
You didn't like that? What's wrong? You hate joy? Ridiculous.
You hate?
Oh, yeah. Faux shiz, faux shiz.
It doesn't even sound like her. It sounds like someone imitating Justin Bieber.
By the way, if you, in the future, to the listeners, sidebar, if you ever want to get featured on an episode, just make a reference to this book.
And 100%.
It will make it for sure. Knox will pick it.
100%.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm open to multiple celebrity cameos within your book. Like if you're carrying the weight of it, but then we like kick it over to someone else, like Michael Cera reads a little excerpt or a footnote. I'm okay with that. That's fine.
I think it's case by case, right? Like, I think Matthew McConaughey was the right choice to narrate Green Lights, 100%. I think that Michelle Williams was 100% the right choice to narrate Britney Spears' book because we need some of the finest actors of our time. This is like future Shakespeare. You know what
Thank
I mean?
You.
Like,
Thank
we,
you.
We need that on the public record. Damn. It's just,
so by this logic, Jamie, you want RFK Jr. to do his own memoir? Yeah, I don't want to listen
different.
To that.
That's different. And I know we're not allowed to talk about people's bodies or their weird voices caused by amoebas.
I'm not bound by those laws. I will.
I will always talk S-word about RFK Jr.'s voice. And I do not want to hear it even when it's in Congress. I don't want to hear it. Mm-mm. But alas. But that would be my one exception of like, if you're kind of, if you've got a good voice, though, when podcasters don't read their own books, and I know now for the listener, do you always get guaranteed that you're going to get to read your own book if you write a book?
No.
If it's nonfiction, right?
No. Sometimes you have to audition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine being like, I hope I get the role of Knox McCoy.
As a podcaster of over a decade, I wonder if my voice is okay.
It's like a really contentious thing because there are some writers who, frankly, they are great writers, but they don't need to. Not to go theater major on everybody, but it's hard to narrate a book. Like it is.
I always do think it would be hard to narrate a book because even if I read a book out loud, I'm like, ah, your voice ridiculous. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I think of this,
oh yeah, faux shiz.
I just think of Michelle Williams being like, do we want fun? Do we want thoughtful?
They did seven takes on it. I would like to hear.
Is this like Hamlet? Like what are we thinking here? Right. You know, I want to hear the alts. So, next up, Lauren O'Quist. If you're going to write about your divorce, I'm going to need less waxing poetic and more naming names. Parentheses, looking at you, female Christian author.
God,
do we know who this is about? Do we know who she's referring to?
Part of it feels like Jen Hatmaker, but she didn't really name.
There wasn't anybody to name.
There wasn't really anybody to name because the person that he had an affair with, he wasn't with anymore.
Yeah.
And so,
well, and I do think, too, like if this is a celebrity dynamic, and the person who was cheated with is on your level or above, I think that's okay. If you're just pulling somebody out of nowhere and you're punching down, that's not a cool. That's not tough.
I think this is about Lisa Turkhurst because she really doesn't talk a lot of S word about her husband, even though, as a reminder, he had porn stored on the grandchildren's iPads in the various playrooms in the house.
Put it in a place that no one's going
to
look.
So. I mean, I'm not trying to defend him. I'm saying that's an interesting approach to hiding it, right?
I know. And listen, she's happily remarried to literally his twin brother. And not literally, but like he does.
I was like, what?
But he does look exactly. Why. Like if you look at Lisa Turker's husbands, they all look exactly the same. So she does have a type, which is fair, but it is like skinny, runs hard, owns a Chick-fil-A, also has porn on the kids' iPads. Like, that's the look.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it was like, I read Lena Dunham's memoir, Fame Sick, and she doesn't name Lord, but it's Lord. Like, a young singer, my partner was producing her album. They were very close, but she just never says Lord. And I'm like, it's Lord. We know it's Lord.
Is there like a legal thing where people can't? I mean, I don't know. I didn't have to name anybody.
She said in an interview that it was like, I just wanted to be as gentle as I could. And I thought, you weren't gentle about Lord other than not saying her name. You were real, but she was really mean to Jack, like obviously because he had multiple affairs. But like, I don't know. It just didn't feel.
I gotta say, I didn't think he had it in him. That's crazy, you know? It just feels gauche to just be like, it's Lord. Yeah, parentheses, Lord. Like, that's who it was, you know? So maybe
I know, and to be fair, she was a teenager at the time. Like, she was 19. Mm. So that is also tough.
Yikes.
But I do want the tea. Like, if we're going, let's go.
Yeah.
If we're going, let's go.
Okay, next up, a.m.nielsen.95. A lot of dots. You heard it. Don't need to comment on it. Nobody actually wants to read a physical copy of a nonfiction book. It is best consumed audio style. But then it might as well be a podcast, and we don't listen to other podcasts. So in a nutshell, I don't think we need nonfiction. I'll continue because this next comment kind of chimes in. Kristen Roth, 04, as a rule, they are too long. Any nonfiction book on history should be 25% shorter, and any self-help book should just be a podcast.
I agree with all of this.
Really?
100%. Yeah. I don't know that I've ever physically read a nonfiction book until
I'm finding nonfiction harder to physically read, but to listen to, I can crush through so many.
Absolutely.
I will say, as someone who is new to nonfiction on audio, just of this calendar year, I do enjoy it a lot. Like, because I am treating each chapter like a podcast episode. And I'm like, okay, good. I got through that podcast episode. And then I feel accomplished because I move pretty fast. And I like to beat the time just like when I'm driving. And I'm like, I can do this in less than 8 hours. This is crazy. But the only thing is, like, I just don't want more podcasts either. But again, I do appreciate A.M. saying we don't listen to other podcasts.
Yes.
So
we don't.
That part is really helpful. Like, really helpful. I did see somebody who read a nonfiction read a chapter of their book on TikTok. And I was like,
A whole chapter.
It took 10 minutes, a full 10 minute TikTok. And I didn't watch the whole thing, but I was like, she was like, hey, So I'm going to give you all a sample of the chapter.
No.
And then she opened the book of an arc.
I'd love to see the metrics.
It's not
on
out
that.
Yet. And I was like, do I want to sit here for this? I was like, no.
Was it a fiction? Was it, you say it was nonfiction?
It was fiction. It was fiction.
Maybe. Maybe.
But the author reading it?
Maybe.
I like
there are there gifts? Are there anything?
Yeah, is there accompanying?
No, it's a candle lit to the side.
Okay, here's my idea. It's the fiction author reading their thing outside behind them, like a bank robbery is happening or some kind of extended thing, yes. Right? So you're like, wait, what? You're not really listening, but you are listening.
If their baby's riding their corgi in the background, mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. good. Yeah. I'll have multiple things to enjoy. But
yes.
No, I don't like that.
Now, I would like to throw this out. Tell me if you agree or disagree. I think in terms of the vanity of your home personal library, I often think nonfiction books are a better selection because I feel like when you see them on the shelf, you're like, oh, got it. That's about World War II. Some fiction, you're just like, I don't even know what that means. And the cover's not even that cool.
Yeah, it just says foot. And you're mm-hmm. like, foot?
Yeah.
What's foot about?
Yeah,
foot
footballs.
Weird? Is this about? Is this football? Is this fetishes? What is this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shadow touch? What kind of shadow touch? Yeah. What's that mean?
That's right.
That's from another episode. I don't know where and when it comes out. But...
Last week. Hardbacks. Become a hardback.
Okay. Jane Bashaw Baldwin. I think that's right. Yeah. Any nonfiction book about increasing personal productivity. In 2026, read The Room. I'm not trying to be highly effective or create atomic habits. I don't want to be smarter, faster, or better. I'd honestly like to be slower and worse.
Yeah. This is great.
You tell him, Jane Bashaw. Like, that's it.
I hate to tell you that the number one right now best-selling new release in productivity is a book called Faster by Jeff Morris, A System for Finishing What Matters. Hey,
see,
you don't always want it faster,
one word,
Jeff.
Gone.
Thank you.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, you don't like that. What if I told you it's just strings on the cover?
Strings?
What does that have to do with anything?
I don't know. Or maybe it's lines that curve, but they look like strings. Faster by Jeff Moore. We also have Procrastination Proof by John Acuff. Remember John Acuff?
I do remember John Acuff. Do you think anyone in the world has ever, in the history of time, described strings as lines that curve? I don't think they have.
Look, the other book is The Simple Guide to ADHD. The second best-selling book is The Simple Guide to ADHD Regulation, and it's two, it has a set of concentric circles that are offset, and I'm like, the ADHD doesn't like that. Like, I'm not buying that book if the circles are offset. I don't like that. That's no good. My favorite thing about productivity books is not that they exist. It's that how they try to create a cover. So I'm going to have lines that curve? Or am I going to have a turtle that has a stick of dynamite on the back and it's on wheels with a helmet? That's what John Acuff's book is. Or am I going to have Big Time by Laura Vanderkam, which is just going to be its simple path to time abundance. And it's just a bike hanging from a string, a dartboard hanging from a string, and a sun. What? Look, I just feel like they phoned these covers in so aggressively.
I agree. I think productivity books are like a less involved MLM scheme. There's probably one good chapter. That's like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Everything else is fluff. They spend so much time getting to the main chapter and then reiterating and repeating. I hate them so much. And I kind of like, I understand why Malcolm Gladwell books were good and I enjoyed them.
Sure.
I also understand why he kind of is like faux intellectualizing things that probably don't need to be. But I prefer that to Adam Grant. It's like he's like Walmart brand Malcolm Gladwell. And
And it always feels like when I see Adam Grant in a clip from an interview of whatever, it's always like, you guys, you have to dream before you plan. And
yeah. I'm like, oh, write that down.
Right. I didn't think about this.
Where's my notes app? Let me write that down. Like, it's like, I don't dream find this helpful.
Before, after, wait, what was it? Rewind. he's doing a podcast with Brene. There's a show I listen to.
What?
And that is getting promoted to me every ad break, him and Brene Brown. And I'm there.
What
is
are they doing together?
They're hanging
nothing
out.
Nothing I want to listen to. Best I'll tell you friends. That right now. Yeah. Wow. They're best friends. And we often agree, but we never disagree. They literally say that in the ad. I'm just like, kill me now.
We often
like
agree, with a we stapler. Never disagree. I don't know what that means.
Aaron. Okay, hold on. So I have been reading about Jeff Morris, the writer of
Faster of the lines that curve.
Yeah. So this is for Jeff Morris. Every journey, whether in life, martial arts, or pickleball, starts with the question: how can I improve?
And then later it says,
Aaron, those are all things you like. And he says, I've got questions.
Hold on.
What you're talking about. Like,
this book.
The Venn diagram between pickleball and martial arts is a circle.
Listen, this says this book goes beyond traditional pickleball training. Like, I think this is a book about pickleball.
Traditional pickleball.
But it says
it's
a system for finishing what matters.
I was just saying, when Jeff discovered
pickleball matters, Jamie.
He saw more than a game. He saw an opportunity to blend the ancient wisdom of martial arts with modern competition.
There aren't even strings in pickleball, except maybe the net.
I don't know. Now I'm intrigued. I don't know what this book is about.
Do you see his author photo?
It's
he
incredible.
Does look like the final boss of pickleball.
He
like
does.
In your neighborhood.
He looks like he is like, he's real upset that they won't let him play pickleball past 10.
Yeah.
He struts on that court.
Oh, he won.
Like, you're going to have to strangle him with a wristband and kill him to get him to stop because he
you
refuses.
You absolutely are.
That's
crazy.
I got
a lot of questions about this book now.
His bio says, born in Canada. Listen, you don't need to know more than that. It's in Canada.
Listen, and as judgmental as we are about covers, I will say some of the early covers of both of your books were horrific.
Truly, truly
yeah,
bad.
Yeah.
Truly, truly bad.
My favorite was, mine had a dinosaur, and I do not talk about dinosaurs at any point in the book.
Yeah.
I would have if I would have known. You know, I would
and
have
Aaron's
loved
was
to
just
do that.
Question marks.
This is a lot yeah. of question marks.
What's wrong with that?
Marks. A lot of question marks in different fonts.
Question
but
marks. Lines that curve.
Covers,
lines that curve.
Oh,
aren't
question.
They?
I yeah. feel like.
Is all question mark are... string? Yeah. We
strings that curve? I'm going to write a Macworm MMR and it's going to have that exact cover.
You should.
And I'm going to call
should.
It slower. Slower.
It's not about
okay.
pickleball.
KB Steffi, if it's about a family with multiple generations, I'm going to need a family tree complete with pictures. In fact, I want more photos and illustrations in nonfiction. If a fictional Dragonland book can give me a map, you can give me a map of where all the murders took place and all the places that the murderer lived.
I love this. This is a great idea.
But remember when books had the glossy section in the middle of all
yeah.
the pictures collected?
Oh, yeah.
Why don't we have that anymore?
What happened to that?
Publishers, you're still making cash. Don't act like I'm paying $30 for hardback and you're not making some money. I know yeah. you're making money. You print that in China. Okay?
Oh, the paper in China went up, so that's
China.
Why we got to charge more for your book.
But
I don't
it.
Like them all in the middle. Put them just as, like, if you refer to
but
something,
I like
next
glossy,
page.
And I know that that's like a public, but I do want them glossy and in color. I don't want black and white.
Well, you can't have everything, you know?
Fair.
I don't true. Like anything where it's like, refer to, like, when I'm reading or I'm listening to an audiobook and they're like, refer to the whatever the info section in this audio thing to see. I'm like, I'm not going to do all that. That's a whole different experience. So I do need these things like concurrent with when you're telling me about them. Otherwise, I will
so
never.
So when a footnote is in a book, in an audiobook, because I haven't encountered footnotes in my audiobook journey. Do you do the footnote as soon? Do you say the footnote as soon as it's the number on the page?
If you're good and smart, yes. you do.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Because yeah.
if you just like info dump at the end, I'm
nobody
like, what
knows
you
what you're talking about.
Like,
I would yeah. know. Yeah. No, that's fair. Okay.
I read them
like
as parentheticals, like essentially
yeah.
when I did my
that's
audio.
A better way to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. I did like obnoxious like footnote so people would know. Oh, I think it's a footnote. I like in the Harry Potter movies when you went to Sirius's house and like his whole family tree was the wallpaper.
Yeah.
I was like, let's do this.
Tapestry.
I don't need twall wallpaper anymore in your dining room. I need family tree.
Yeah. Well, especially you know? In some kind of self-help book when you're like, okay, so you need to build a grid. Okay, let's see the grid. I'm not building
yeah.
a grid. If I'm not cooking a meatloaf without a picture, I am not building a grid without a picture.
Yeah.
What's a grid? I don't know.
I think you're being a thoughtful, mature centrist with self-help books.
Mm-hmm.
I am pure annihilation.
Yeah, you don't think we should have any of them.
Let's round them up and let's get rid of them. They got to go. Not here.
Ban them.
Yeah. Blood
and
soil.
I don't know that I've read a good self-help book. Except, you know, like maybe the ones my friends wrote.
Of course. We knew you meant that too.
Those are different. Those are different.
Different.
Those are different. They're great.
Yeah.
Let's see. Tiffany D. Olson, 95% of self-help or personal development books are unnecessarily outright harmful, but if the cover art prominently features the author's photo, it's an immediate no. I don't even need to read the synopsis to know it's part of the 95% that's unnecessary.
Tiffany, John Boehner would disagree.
John Boehner, that's good. You would argue the stake is the star of the cover, and John Boehner's just there as
yes,
well.
Yes, I think so. Yeah, absolutely.
To give witness to the
that's
stake,
right.
I would say.
Okay.
Authors on the covers of biographies or memoirs are fine. Ryan, exclamation.
I do agree with that, because I do think Jessica McCurdy, I'm Glad My Mom Died, is a great cover. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a great cover. Okay, but here's what I hate, and I'm going to speak. Okay, listen, and this is for your headshot, too. If anybody's listening and you have a headshot, okay, and you're a lady, let's stop putting our head in our palm, okay? Let's stop doing it. Let's stop bringing our hands to our face. Exactly. That's what I mean.
Or is it like a double?
Listen, it's a mix. Ariana Huffington, in her self-help book, it's like this. Like, it's like this. And then Lucinda Bassett, Indra Nooyi, they're both like this. And then Girl Stop Apologizing by Rachel Hollis, she's like this. She's just got it in her hair. Jenny Garth, in her book that just came out, it's like this.
I completely disagree.
No, I'm going to post this clip. Don't worry about it. But then Michelle Obama.
It's like this. Listen. Or this. It's like this. Or this.
Just imagine my hand in various places on my face. But Michelle Obama's becoming right in the chin. Right in the chin. I think you look stupid. The worst it's ever been is Sheryl Sandberg leaning in on her chin and being like, I'm not the devil. But we found out. You were.
Okay.
You were also the devil.
Okay. I appreciate this. But also, it looks you look like a thumb if your arm isn't somehow engaged on your...
And like, sometimes people don't know what to do with their arms or hands in pictures. So they do weird things.
But if you're just doing bust up, then you...
Don't put your hand... Just sit there like a person. Don't do this. This is stupid.
What if their heads are heavy and they're like, I need...
Men don't do that at all. It's only women. Find me a man who's done that. They don't do it. They just face the camera and smile or smize. Women feel like they have to be like,
Or is it a lack of imagination in men, and women are just trying new things, you know?
Yeah.
Let's not kill innovation in the crib, things. Jamie.
I hate them. Look, the worst one I've ever seen is Candace Cameron Bure. Please pull it up. It's called Kind is the New Classy. Which is not her attitude on the internet, but no matter. She's full body. Look where her hands are. And
hold on. So it looks like she's trying to do a heart over like her kidney.
Yeah.
So with your kidneys right next to her Pikachu. And I like that they were like a little more to the right. So it's not quite so here's my hoo-ha. I don't like that. I don't like her heart symbol.
I do appreciate that she put her contributor on there or her ghostwriter on there.
That's nice of her.
Good for that.
Good job.
Yeah, we honor. That's probably another ick is when you're like, I wrote it. I'm Amy Griffin.
Just me.
And I wrote it. Just me.
Yeah.
And then the lawsuit tells the whole story. So I just don't like the hand. I just don't understand why in a headshot a woman is like, my head is so heavy. I can't. I hate it.
Do you think big hand on head is like the industry is lobbying and like, no, ladies, you got to put your hands on your head when you do headshots? Or do you think like women are just like, I don't know what else to do? Like, who is behind this?
I think women don't know what to do. And whatever photographer is doing this photo is not guiding them well, because it's the photographer's job to guide the shoot. And because I can't be expected. I'm not a model. I'm not a Jenner. I can't do this. You show me what to do and where to turn. And when we've ever had headshots, our photographer has always done that. Little tilt, lean. Here. And listen, are there some shots where my hand is in my head? Yes, because the photographer told me to do it.
Yeah.
But mostly, I'm never going to post that photo.
My hands are just too meaty to be like a focal point of a photo.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's just like I have hot dog fingers.
I have very short fingers.
Yeah.
I can't possibly, and I don't have a full set on either. Like, I'm not doing, and Aaron's always missing one nail because she's like,
Not today.
Look at that. Can't confirm. Today. I see them all.
Yeah. The day's young.
I get in there and they're just like, there's nothing we can do. Let's just get this.
We don't know how to help you.
There's nothing here. It's a full loss. I would just say, in terms of headshots, I feel like this is the trying phase, because in the history of our species, like 150,000 years, we've never had photo taking capabilities and barely had a reflection. So we don't know what to do. And maybe in 200,000 years, we'll know. And we'll be like, no, it's always like you put your knee up and hug your knee. And that's like the optimal positioning. But I would just like to extend grace to Candace Cameron Bure for putting a heart almost on her vagina.
Because
we don't know. We don't know, Jamie. Listen, okay.
Knox has grace for this because.
I know. I said that already. We don't have to do it again.
But I'm going to post it. I just want to make sure everybody knows.
No.
Go to our Instagram.
Okay. If you post that, you can't post where you did all of the different motions audio wise and no one had any idea what you're talking about. Deal?
Deal. I just leave it. And you just have to guess how I did it. Just look up Ariana Huffington's self-help book and you'll see how our hands are. Michelle Obama is literally like, and it's a self-help. It's not just her memoir. It is a self-help based on her life. And it's her leaning into full chin and being like, I'm, and I love Michelle Obama, but like, look, guys, I think she looks great.
You.
She's a beautiful woman, but that's a stupid pose. That's a stupid pose.
So. No, I hate it.
I hate it.
I love it.
Okay, last comment, Mary Beth Tomps. We should be able to vote on what all is included in someone's memoir ahead of time. Julie Andrews' memoir didn't breathe a word about Princess Diaries or Shrek 2. Hello.
This is not something I've ever considered, but I absolutely agree with it.
It's genius.
I think it's brilliant. 100%.
Yes. You think it's because she's like, I don't want to be known as Princess Diaries, even though a whole generation, that's mostly what they know me for.
To be fair, Julie Andrews has done a lot. And it's a long, so I
she has a lot of iconic roles. I would rather spend more time on The Sound of Music than Shrek 2.
Shrek 2 is so good though. And it's
incredible. It's I would say like Fairy Godmother.
Do you think she knows she was in Shrek 2?
That's what I think. I think now The Princess Diaries, that's a whole other thing. Yeah. But I think she's completely forgotten that she's been in Shrek 2.
Okay. So free idea publishing industry. All these celebrity memoirs, we do one for them, one for us. So there's the celebrity cut and there's the fan cut. Mm-hmm. And you got to write about what the fans vote.
Yeah.
That's two different books you're selling. You can bundle them. There's an audio possibility. She could voice some of them or she could sub it out.
Oh, yeah. Foshes.
And that would be cool, too.
What if we offered a service where we will annotate and sell at auction a celebrity's memoir where we come in and we go, here is where Lance Armstrong, who wrote It's Not About the Bike, used all the drugs and didn't say about all the drugs he was using in his memoir.
Oh, right? So like the Michael Jackson movie right now, like it doesn't talk about any of the bad things he did.
Yeah.
We don't talk about Neverland other than like, this is a place. Don't worry about it.
So we would jump in and be like, actually, blah, 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 blah. Here's all the info on that. So in Julie Andrews, we would just be like, here's a chapter about her on Shrek.
You know who did this the worst that I read it and I was like very disappointed is Anna Faris. Anna Faris had a book. Her memoir, Unqualified, came out in 2017. They had already announced their divorce. He still was the writer of the foreword, Chris Pratt. And she makes no mention of the dissolution of their marriage. And I'm like, the book's not even out yet. And I get that you write it in advance, blah, 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 blah. We can add a chapter at the end.
We can add a chapter.
Or like a footnote. Like, well, how about a footnote that's like, hey, he was very gushing in the foreword, but they don't even like each other anymore. Like, they're not together at all.
Maybe he writes the forward and the backward, and he's like, we are divorced, but she's still a great writer and
couple
a good
notes.
Person.
Couple notes I have to add.
Because in the paperback, they could have been like, hey, the paperback's out. He's also married to someone else already. Like, he's married to
Didn't she cheat on him?
She did. She cheated on him.
Okay, so who she cheated with writes the backward, and Chris Pratt writes the forward.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's good.
Because remember, because one of my favorite celebrity memoirs of all time is Andre Agassi's, because you don't even have to like tennis to love it. It's really well done. But the way he tells, he barely talks about Brooke Shields, which is absurd.
That's crazy.
He talks about, he does not talk about their incident that ended up being the end of their marriage, which was when she was, do you remember when she was on Friends and she believed that Joey was the character Drake Ramore from Days of Our Lives? And she ends up sucking his fingers into her mouth, which was salacious at the time. He was in the studio audience, got up, left, had a fit, said, you humiliated me. You embarrassed me. That's in her memoir, not in his memoir. It's in hers.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. You get to control the narrative a little bit.
I get. That's why everybody should. So I need a Chris Pratt memoir. I need every person. Yeah,
dueling memoirs.
The people's cut.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Sometimes I think about like our parents in the 90s and just when we invent time travel, going back in time, being like, watch an episode of Euphoria. This is what we're dealing with.
You guys are sucking fingers as a joke.
You just sucked a finger and you're grabbing your pearls. Welcome to Cassie on Euphoria.
NBC on Thursday nights for this.
Yeah.
You're not ready.
You're not ready for this.
You're not
world.
Ready for Margot's Got Money Troubles.
No, you're not.
Somebody asked me, they're like, is the book also spicy? Like, a friend was like asking his wife, he was like, is the book also this? And it's like, no, no, it's not as spicy as this. It's spicy here. And I don't mean sex. I mean, just Elle Fanning's nipples. They're drawing a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Do you think Andre Agassi in pickleball could beat Jeffrey Morris in pickleball? Because I don't.
Jeffrey Morris doesn't think so.
Well, no. I think Jeff Morris might have it up. I mean, he's mixing martial arts and pickleball. Yeah. I don't know how you can
Isn't that what pickleball is? Martial arts tennis?
It is with wiffle balls, I believe. I choose to believe that Jeffrey Morris, when he hits a ball, he just screams faster every time, like Willy Wonka in the tunnel.
Lord. Sorry to Jeff Morris for taking all these strays.
A lot of strays in this episode.
Wish you the best on your book.
Yeah.
We wish you the best. Yep.
Good luck, man. Okay, that's going to do it for this episode of Shelf Respect.
As always, don't forget, everything we talked about is in the show notes, and we would love to see you talk about it too. You can do that on Instagram at Read With Shelf Respect, or if you're listening on Patreon as a hardback, which is a great thing to be, you can go to patreon.com/shelfrespect.
Ask your pointed questions, declare your intentions, or start a respectful fight in the comments with one of your enemies just to eventually become lovers.
I'm Jamie Golden. You can find me on the internet at Jamie B. Golden.
I'm Erin Moon. You can find me on the interwebs at Erin H. Moon.
I'm Knox McCoy. You can find me on the socials at Knox McCoy. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.
The end.